Welcome to the Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. When we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprint, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com this March 29th on the East Coast, March 28th on the West Coast. Tonight, we have our regular Friday guest with us. He is a special guest for that reason. He is a very well-established scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, and teacher, and his name is Jim Murray. Jim, welcome to the show tonight.
Thank you, Don. It's a pleasure as always.
Sorry, we had a slight technical snafu there, and that goes out to the listeners as well. I know some people are sitting there waiting right at 1 o'clock sharp Eastern time or 10 o'clock on the West Coast, and if we don't happen to jump on the air exactly at the right second, they get kind of perturbed. But we have a great show lined up for you. We have been talking about the anomalies on Mars. We've been talking about the Egyptian pyramids and kind of jumping all over the place lately because really these phenomena are related to our lives. And so occasionally we have to bring them back down to Earth, so to speak. And recently something came into the alternative news via Project Camelot. It was an interview with Luca Scantamburro from Italy, who was an Italian journalist and an independent UFO researcher. Some interesting things have occurred in Mr. Scantamburro's life recently, and some of these are related to communications he's had with Cristofo Barbato, another UFO researcher, and also a scholar of Fatima, which is the visions of some small children in Portugal in the early 1900s of the Virgin Mary. Now, Fatima has become part of the Catholic culture, we'll say, and it is presided over primarily by the Vatican. What the Vatican will basically tolerate the church knowing about the event and what information they want to discuss. And this isn't really a discussion about Catholicism so much as it is about the Vatican. Now, the Vatican is also very much into extraterrestrial space. They're very much into knowing what's going on with planets, possible invasions by beings from other realms, and even the reality that we have reptilians and greys right here on Earth, both within the Earth and on top of the Earth and in the space surrounding the Earth. We're not going to beat around the bush. We're going to come right out and call it what it is. Now, that is a no-no in the United States, and that's a no-no in many countries. And, of course, the Vatican is deeply involved with this. They have a satellite out in space. Cassini has been named after one of their prized astronomers. And in addition to that, they have a telescope in Arizona, and it's something like 1.8 meters wide. This is a huge telescope, and they're monitoring the incoming planet X, or so they say. Now, Jim Murray and I are going to discuss this whole question, this whole issue, this whole phenomena, and what the reasons for this story coming and going are. And we're going to use a little bit of scientific deduction and just plain old common sense and some reasoning here. Now, I don't mean common sense in terms of the masses of the planet, but I mean logical thought and comparing facts and keeping an open mind and thinking outside the box and not the way we're taught to think. How does that sound to you, Jim?
Just fine.
So far it sounds okay. Did you yourself have a chance to look at the interview at all?
I did look at some of it, but I'll be honest with you, it was the close of the day by the time I found it, and I didn't read the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the things that you had highlighted for me were certainly of the most profound interest. As I mentioned to you in our private conversation, I found it particularly interesting that the church or the Vatican is now referring to this planet, the 10th planet, Nibiru, I think is what Sitchin called it, as Planet X. And, you know, for me, as soon as I hear that title, it brings back memories of sci-fi movies from my childhood, because it was a very, very interesting story called The Man from Planet X, which happened in Scotland. And it was a very interesting theory that this planet had deliberately been pried out of its original orbit to allow the people to have one chance of vacating their dying world and reestablishing themselves here on Earth, a little bit far out, considering that you don't transfer several million people in the bat of an eye. But nonetheless, the idea is interesting, and it seems to have resurrected in this whole concept about the migrating Planet X coming into the influence of Earth in some way, shape, or form, and the possibility of invasion or whatever else they want to read into such a thing. Now,
yes.
I don't have any qualms about the possibility that there could be a civilization looking for a better home, but I can tell you unequivocally that any planet, even a small one, to be pried from its original orbit, steered through space, and brought into close proximity with another world, is an undertaking so fantastic.
I know. Are you still there, Jim?
What's that?
Are you still there?
Yeah, why? Did you lose me?
Yeah, I lost you for a second. I laughed and I said, I know, and I was about to make a comment, and it seemed like it went dead. I was going to say, it's as though this thing's got, like, its own transmission and a steering wheel and brakes, and, I mean, it's not a vehicle. Yes.
No, it's not a vehicle in the normal sense of the term, but the irony of it is that any race that would have the wherewithal to literally move its planet out of its God-given orbit, bring it millions of miles through space to some foreign territory, and then proceed to park it in a new orbit, would already possess all the technology necessary to save their race from whatever peril it might be in. It's just a ludicrous thought to think that somebody would go through all that trouble to invade our world, and especially under such peculiar conditions as that.
Well, yeah. Now the whole idea, first of all, what they're saying, they're not necessarily, you know, you're taking into account Sitchin's writing, of course. I think this requires a bit of discernment here, and on different levels. Let's look at the planet itself. Okay, there's supposed to be this planet moving toward the Earth. We are not the only planet in our solar system. Why is it the Earth that's being targeted, number one? Number two, is there life on this planet? And then number three, when they show this secret so-called video, see, here's another secret. This is a video of a glimpse of one particular portion of the planet's surface, maybe not even one eighth of it, according to what I have seen of the so-called video. And it looks like a loop, a time loop, where it just keeps repeating itself over and over and over. And they have some kind of shadowy substance that might be considered to be an atmosphere, sort of a dark, hazy cloud moving over the surface of it. And it's just a repeat of the same thing. It's like what you would call a GIF file, a graphic image file that's just repeating over and over, like the stuff that comes up on your computer screen when you're trying to read your mail. And it looks like that. Even the rest of the sky, or I should say the heavens, there I see one star or one other planet way in the distance, and everything else is a black background. It looks very fictitious. It looks very contrived. Now, that said, that's assuming that they know who is on the planet and that they know their intentions. But to me, it's just another hoodwinking type of fear-mongering, put this out there so people have something to argue about. So they look up there, they look away from here where everything is going on. Basically, that's my take on it. Now, Sitchin, in my even though his work seems very compelling, I'm inclined to believe that he was put on a mission to disinform and to just build up this fear and sort of scientifically argue this point that is actually the Jesuit position at the Vatican. It's Jesuits who are according to these people, Christopher Barbato and also Luca Scantamburlo, that Planet X is on the way back here. Like, they know this. They just found out the secret, but they have all the answers now. And by the way, I mentioned that they're calling it Planet X, and the X is also a symbol, a very, very well-known symbol for Satanism. So I add that, too. Comments, Jim?
I find it even more interesting that they've managed to get a video of the planet's surface already, you know.
Well, that's assuming that it's a genuine video.
Well, I'm being facetious.
Yes. Yeah. And they didn't even ask me to do the music for the movie. That's what insults me. what's your take on all of this, Jim? What do you sense is going on?
Well, you know, I have very few charitable words for the Vatican in general, so I'm going to have to pick what I say very carefully. I don't want to get embroiled in that whole business. But the thing that comes to mind most readily is the scene from The Wizard of Oz, where the guy says, "Don't pay any attention to that man behind the curtain." There's so much stuff going on the planet right now that really demands 100% of attention from our people, and if they really comprehended the plight that we're all in, they may very well have the ability to make some pretty big changes at this point in time. So what would be more realistic than a diversionary tactic of some sort to cause people to look the other way as some other sleight of hand is being performed? You know, the problem is that if you're going to undertake something like that, then you had better do it with a quality and a detailed presentation that's going to be able to support the contentions or the issues that you're rising. I don't think it makes any sense to present some half-baked presentation and expect the entire world to gawk at it and become enmeshed in it. If it's as primitively presented as you suggest, it sounds like a very, very half-hearted effort, even on their behalf.
Yes. Now, you know, I don't know if you have read any of Sitchin's work.
Yeah, I've read all of them to date.
Okay. All right. In essence, he's He's written that this planet comes back here every 3,600 years or so. I've heard a specific figure of 3,654 years. The Earth is still here. I mean, people are still here. It's obvious that we've had people here longer than 3,600 years. Now, who is it that's coming? Okay, is it the Anunnaki? Is it the planet Nibiru? If this is just a trajectory of the planet and it's regular, there should be no secret about it. Actually, Sitchin's already written about it. But they're talking about this, and this is the special Jesuit intelligence agent from the Vatican that reached out to these two journalists, and then they at least got Kerry Cassidy and Bill Ryan to interview them. And what I find interesting is that recently, also, and this is in conjunction with two other events going on. In Norway, there's a politician in Norway who came out and was talking about the fact that 2 million of the people in Norway are going to be taken underground in a base, and the remaining is, I think it's roughly 4 million people on the surface are going to have to fend for themselves because of what's coming down the pike. Now, to me, again, that's fear-mongering, and it's like, well, I want to be one of those that goes down into the, into the underground bases. I want to be safe. Okay? No one knows, at least those that are considering or wanting to be on that wish list, to go underground when this cataclysmic event takes place, really knows why they're being taken underground. Or why they're being told they're going to be taken underground. And when we talked about all the variables, and I'm speaking about when I had Bill Ryan and Kerry Cassidy on the show, we talked about this very event. This is a man that they've had contact with in the Norwegian government. He was given also a warning about this Planet X story, and he was told that Planet X was a hoax. So why put the story out there? Well, they've been doing this, of course. Why did Sitchin write all this stuff? Probably because he'd been asked to. Now, it's a very good argument that he presents, but is it scientific? It's more a research study on literature and analyzing literature, saying that it means this and it means that. I don't know that he's been in space. I would say that, though, that the intention of it is to create fear and to create a cover for what is really going on. And I even suggested to Bill and Kerry on that show that maybe the whole intention of bringing the people underground was to make them part of the food supply, considering who might be behind the whole thing. I think you get my meaning. So.
Oh yeah, and we had actually touched on that on some earlier shows too.
Yes, exactly. And so, the fact that this should be a secret, although they're leaking it out like this, Sitchin wrote 12 books about it, at least I think something like that.
Yeah, it's about 10 or 12 books.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, and he's been on talk shows and. And he promotes his books, and he's rather blunt about, it's in the book, it's in the book. He doesn't really want to go into detail. He wants to sell books. I think if you have a message to mankind that they're about to experience a major cataclysm, I think as the messenger, you wouldn't charge people for the message. You would just come out and give it to them straight.
Well, not only that, but, when I read Sitchin's books, there were certain aspects of his overall story which I found very compelling.
Yes.
And, whether or not he has all the details correct or not is another issue, but there are certain things he presents which are definitely food for thought, if nothing else. But the main thing that I focused on is this reoccurring orbit of Nibiru, which returns approximately every 3,600 years. And so the first thing that dawned on me was, well, you know what? 3,600 years ago is not that long ago in terms of the history of the planet that we're well aware of. And it's a well-known fact that in Babylonia, in Sumeria, and in Egypt, incredibly accurate records of astrological events were kept and survived till this day. And it seems to me that if another planet came into the orbit of Earth within the time span of recorded history, that would have made it into many, many different textbooks, not just those few that I mentioned, but if you had China, which was a well-developed civilization in those days and certainly watching the skies, you had a number of different civilizations in Central and South America and Mexico that also liked keeping close tabs on celestial events. And it's just mind-boggling to me that there's no mention anywhere that I know of where this huge unknown planet worked its way into our solar system, stayed for a short period of time, and then departed. And as I say, I think that between the fact that you would definitely see this thing in the night sky, if it was anywhere in our vicinity, not to mention the fact that if it was reasonably close, it would affect tides, it would affect weather, it would affect climate, and God only knows what else. I think all of these things would have been mentioned by an enormous number of writers, and some of their facts would certainly have survived.
I would think that it would definitely have effect on a satellite taking a picture of it. To me, I mean, if it's got that much impact on the Earth, or, you know, when, what is being implied here? Is this going to be a collision? Is this going to be a calamitous event of destruction because of polar shifts and winds and who knows? And then if that's the case and that this planet is so destructive, why isn't it being destroyed itself if it's on a path of destruction? I mean, it's just all of this fear-mongering. It the story really doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit basic logic. Forget about physics. Forget about space. Just basic logic. You know, it would be like you have this roaming house in your neighborhood, and this thing, and it's not on wheels, okay? It's like all the other houses, but it's got some special quality that it can move into your backyard and encroach on your patio, you know? Smash your barbecue, run over your lawnmowers, and then go back to where it was, or just go to some other neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? I'm reducing it to a microcosm of what it is, what planets are, but in essence, what else do you call it? I mean, it doesn't pan out. But,
well, the other possibility that we discussed, which at least has some remote possibility, is that it's not a planet at all, but, you know, some large mothership or something, which is under intelligent control and which comes here periodically for a purpose. But if that was the case, then what is the purpose, you know? Do they go into any details about all this?
Well, I haven't seen the whole of the video. You know, the whole thing is probably about 2 hours long. I've watched the first part, but it's referred to as the secret. There's a secret. Now, this is not like the book, The Secret. This is the big secret. And just the idea that that these people that portend and pretend to be the leaders of the planet spiritually can be the liars of the planet or the deceivers of the planet. And to me, the fact that if this is the case, why aren't they telling people? They have a duty, you know, they want to talk about Christianity, they have a duty to do the right thing and to tell people about it. So why do they create these secrets? Why do they allow for secrecy? And it's obvious that they use this method of transmitting information to the masses through a secret, through a private leak that they allow to get published to some extent, to entrap everyone and to start creating fear. It's usually about fear. Let me say this. If there is a planet coming, nobody can do anything about it. There's not anybody that can do anything about it. If it's a ship the size of a planet, what's their intention? Well, I think at that point now, you regroup and you figure out who it is. But this idea that it's even out there, my intuition tells me that this whole thing is a hoax. It's just about fear-mongering, and it's about setting up their next action, their next major event on the planet, to grasp a little bit more control, to suppress the masses a little bit more, or completely. And the tip-off is that when you see the planet X, it's considered to be the 10th planet because of that X. I remind everybody that the X is their satanic way of mocking Christianity. And they do it on Christmas by saying Merry Xmas. And they use X's in satanic sacrifices. They scrawl X's with knives on their victims. So this is their practice. I don't buy into it. And it's my take on why they're even calling it this. Any comment, Jim?
Well, you know, it's a very difficult area to find any substance in. If they leak this as a secret, you know, the first thing that comes to my mind is, you know, it's like you say, a fear-mongering effort, which they can then always deny later. They can say, well, we don't know where this came from. It has nothing to do with us. But if it was really something worthwhile and they truly had information concerning it, you would expect a papal proclamation, you know. What better method would there be to bring new members flocking to the church than for them to predict the arrival of this new planet into our solar system and be able to tell why it's coming, what's going to happen when it gets here, and the fact that they have God-given knowledge of this event. You know, these people capitalize on every other conceivable thing imaginable. It's very strange that if they truly were in possession of such knowledge, why they wouldn't capitalize on it. Let everybody become a Catholic overnight. What the heck?
Yeah. Well, you're basically underscoring, you know, my feelings and my perceptions of this whole thing. I also want to mention, too, you probably have heard of this individual if you've ever listened to Coast to Coast, Jim, back in the Art Bell days. He was really, really promoting, and it was on a regular basis, Father Malachi Martin, who supposedly was an assistant to one of the cardinals. In fact, in this video, Luca Scantamburlo really intimates the fact that he had a lot of inside information from the Vatican. Now, this is, I'm mentioning this just from the standpoint of how they perceive themselves in terms of what's important on the world. I mean, the Vatican is a state. It's a small state, but they definitely are bent on collecting money. And then they have an intelligence agency of their own, and they integrate that with the intelligence agencies around the world, and they pay the intelligence agencies around the world as a means of controlling them. So with all the obfuscation of the truth that's involved in that, it's not necessarily the reason to buy this story hook, line, and sinker. And then you take Father Malachi Martin, who was supposedly an exorcist. He was one of a few accomplished exorcists and experts on demons. And I find that interesting that these people talk more about demons than they do about God or what is good in the universe. They talk about destruction, and everything is based on fear, and don't really hear a message of love coming from these people. Most people would rejoice that there's, oh, we found a planet. No, but they have to fearmonger. They have to turn it around into being some dark event. And so Father Malachi Martin was used. I sincerely think that he was used just to keep that fearmongering going in terms of the demonology. And Art Bell used to sell his videos. You know, you sign up for Coast to Coast Archives and you get a free Father Malachi Martin CD. Okay, you get the Vatican's message. And to me, this really sounds like a hoax. But what's alarming is that there are people that are seriously considering that this stuff is real. In other words, we know NASA covers up things. We know all these different international space agencies cover up what they know. And we know a lot more about abductions, and we're seeing that things that we've been saying about other planets in our solar system are now true. We're finding photographic evidence that these things are true. So, I mean, have we died over the last week because you and I talked about the buildings on Mars last week and the week before that? No. So they haven't heard us. But the point is that they're keeping this general information from the public, and that when they do come out with a story like this Planet X thing, they really have to promote it. They have to fearmonger.
Now, well, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Have they predicted a date for the arrival of this thing?
Well, as to where I am in the video right now, no, but I would venture to guess that it is going to be around 2012. Now, they were supposed to have thought, according so far what I've seen, this should have happened by 2000, and it didn't. So, you know, the Pope can tell everybody why it didn't happen. You know, they made a special deal with Venus or something to slow this thing down. I'm being facetious, of course, but
well, maybe it stopped for fuel.
Yeah. Or maybe it just stopped just to take a nap, you know.
Yeah, there you go. Well, the reason I asked you that, Don, is because let's assume that this is an Earth-type planet, or even a smaller one like Mars. I mean, if this thing starts to come into the influence of our solar system from wherever the heck it's supposed to be coming from, even amateur astronomers, everybody and their uncle is going to see this thing. There isn't going to be any way to hide it. So, I mean, it's not like it's going to go unnoticed. You know, if this is a real event, it's one thing that they won't be able to cover up.
Yes. Now, interestingly, I've heard contradictory stories from various people who are UFO researchers and study the solar system and the galaxies and really, you know, study universal things. There are those that have said that there are indications that our space agencies know where this thing is right now. It's been speculated to have been seen in the vicinity of the sun. Now, I would argue that what has been seen in the vicinity of the sun was probably an extraterrestrial craft. In fact, there's one. There are various pictures that have come out over the past few years, and coincidentally, we've had solar flares or solar events that went unreported for months at a time. And they know darn well that that wasn't a planet, but they don't want us to know that there's a craft that size. It was definitely a planet-sized craft. When you consider, what do they tell us? That Earth is 1/100th the size of the moon? I mean, of the sun? Misspoke. Earth is about 1/100th the size. In other words, you could fit 100 Earths into the sun.
Oh, I think it's bigger than that.
Okay. That's what they told us in school, if I remember, though. You know. Now, let's say, just for sake of argument, that was the figure. Then this thing that was in front of the sun, sort of blocking, as if it were intentionally blocking the sun, looked bigger than the Earth. It looked bigger than the Earth.
Well, it would depend entirely on where it was as to how much of an eclipse it could produce. After all, the moon is much smaller than the Earth, and it can produce an eclipse when it gets between the sun and the and the Earth.
Well, this wasn't so much an eclipse as it was being speculated by those that were analyzing the photographs that this craft was seen in different positions moving around as if it were transducing the energy that was coming out of the sun. It's worth talking about it. It being in the proximity of the sun did not destroy that object. And, one wonders who's piloting this planet, that this planet can just, make its way here. Now, obviously, I'm being a bit facetious, but why does it just go after Earth? And why is
why
it that...
Why does it what?
Why does it just go after Earth?
Oh.
I mean, we're not the only planet in the solar system, and it seems to like our solar system.
Well, according to Stitchin's original writings, this thing is... First of all, you have to understand that it's not in the... Its orbit is not in the eclectic like the rest of the planets in our solar system. Supposedly, it's almost perpendicular to the eclectic. And so that's a very peculiar, almost unnatural thing in itself, if it's true. Because here's this thing that swings way the heck out into space on an orbit that takes 3,600 years to complete, and it only literally enters our solar system as it passes through, the equator of our solar system. Essentially, that's what we're talking about. Now, the first thing that came to my mind when I read this information was, first of all, it's such an anomaly of nature that if it's true, it would really be worth investigating how this one particular planet has this strange, obtuse orbit. But secondly, if it is populated with these individuals that come here from time to time for whatever purpose, just how is it that they are managing to keep warm and alive on this peculiar orbit that takes them completely away from the influence of the sun and everything else that's worthwhile out into the dark reaches of space for 3,600 years before they come back again? I mean, that's one heck of a long night,
A
long year, depending on how you want to look at it. Now, according to Stitchin's writings also, the reason that they came here originally was because our planet had large quantities of gold on it, and they were using this gold in the form of a fine powder, which they would then release in the upper atmosphere of their world so that it would retain heat like a huge thermos bottle. I don't know. It just never struck me as being a very effective way of handling the situation, even if it was true. It would take millions and millions of tons of gold dust, to achieve that end. especially in the higher part of the atmosphere where it wouldn't fall back to Earth. You know, you're talking about a mining operation that would have to be ongoing. It would have to be happening now. It wouldn't suffice to have a little infusion of gold dust every 3,600 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's just so many holes in this story that it's either the most fantastic thing imaginable, if it's true, or else it's just absolute hogwash.
Yeah.
And, you know, Occam's razor would suggest that the hogwash theory is easier to digest than the thing being true.
Yes. Now, in addition to that, there's a reference to the book of Revelation in the Bible, and a cryptic mention of a red planet called Wormwood. And I found that interesting because when I think of Wormwood, I don't picture a planet, a red planet out in space. Totally different concept. But that's referred to. Now, I've got more viewing to do of it, but just that much of it. In fact, I've seen two separate representations of the video of this planet. I don't know if you were able to see that or not, but you have no frame of reference of anything. You know, it very easily could have been done in a movie studio or on a computer. And it's very misleading and very deceiving. It's supposed to be a 2-minute video, and all I saw was this loop. Every couple of seconds, the clouds go around this thing, and it's really like a smoky haze. It's nothing like what we know as clouds. You're seeing some kind of a heavy atmosphere around it, but very unrealistic. It looks very surreal, let's put it that way.
And, well, maybe the Vatican should stick to what they know. You know.
Well, I just wonder how it is.
I don't think they're ready for a space simulation at this point.
Yeah. And now, another interesting thing, too, is a piece of the same information, and I'm sort of repeating myself, went to the individual in Norway, and yet I had felt like sitting down and writing an email to Bill and Kerry and saying, you know, somebody's pulling their chain here. This is not, this is not realistic. I just feel like this whole concept of this is going to happen. Certainly, if it's going to happen, something so devastating is going to happen on the surface here, most likely they're going to have some amount of suffering below the surface, too. And there are other motives there. I watch what's going on right now today with energy and food and people's health, and the world economy is basically collapsing, and they have to keep coming out with these stories to try to keep people diverted to other things, keep our attention diverted to other things, and the man in Norway coming out with the story, and then Project Camelot's computers getting attacked or hacked, or even Bill Ryan. Bill intimated that he had trouble when he came back into the country. And he's just interviewing people and putting videos on the internet. That's all he's doing. But they feel very threatened that people are talking, they're telling a story that they don't want to get out. Well, all Bill's doing is filming it, Bill and Kerry. And the last time he came into the country, which was a little over a week ago, they held him for 45 minutes at customs and really gave him the going over about what are you doing here in this country, and you know, how come you're spending so much time here? But they don't seem to mind going into other countries, blowing them to smithereens. you know. But you come here, and, you know, you get treated different. And I told Bill his mistake was not going over the border, like around Texas or Arizona. He should just cross the border there. So, I mean, there are just so many contradictions. Do they really take us for being that stupid about everything?
Well, I don't know how they got things figured out, but I can tell you one thing. In general, I think that the population of the planet is a lot less gullible and a lot more in tune with the fact that these so-called world leaders are pulling the wool over their eyes and have been doing so for quite some time. You may not have everybody on board yet, but there's an awful lot of people who realize that all is not well in the general scheme of things. And it would be very interesting if there was only some way to gauge just how many people really buy into all of this stuff versus the ones who sit back and realize that it's just another fluke or another ploy that they use to try and sway the masses to their way of thinking. Sooner or later, the general consciousness is going to reach a level where the people are going to have enough realization of what's happening to just come out and say, you know what, I think we've had enough of this guff, and what we really need is to wipe the slate clean and start over with something that's real and something that's worthwhile. And quite frankly, the people of Earth have the ability and they have the wherewithal to do this. When you stop and think of the fact that 6 or 8 billion people are essentially being manipulated by a handful of individuals who have dedicated themselves to this world domination scheme, it's really amazing that they've come as far as they have. But there was a very interesting line in the movie Star Wars, the first one, which always sticks in the back of my mind. And it was with Princess Leia said to the governor the Death Star. She said that the tighter the Empire clenches its fists, the more people will ooze out into joining the rebellion. And I think that's literally a truism.
Mm-hmm.
Because the interesting thing is, these people are so greedy, they don't realize that if they had kept a low key and left things alone the way it was, they could have probably perpetuated this nonsense under the guise of democracy and all the other nonsense that they use to promote their way of doing things. But once they start tightening the screws to the point where they want every last penny, they want total control of this or that, and they want world domination, whether they realize it or not, they actually tip their hand. And I think that part of the outcome of this whole thing is that once people realize what's happening, the jig will be up. Because this stuff only works in the cloak and dagger arrangement. It doesn't work out in the open.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're right. I agree with you. And stop and think for a moment. Who is this designed to reach? Ultimately, those that are the researchers, those that are the journalists, and those that are the talk show hosts, and those that are involved in studying and paying attention to what's going on. This isn't intended for the sheeple. People are asleep. They're busy doing what they do. This is for us. This is intended for us to take as some kind of a bait. My why are we talking about this even? Well, to point out the fact that we know what they're doing. It's as simple as that. It's not that I'm buying into the story. We're talking about it, but I did say that we would use some discernment. And to me, I'm not attacking in any way Bill and Carrie's effort to put this on film. Somebody has a story, they're putting it out. We'll figure out what's going on. That's their way of delivering the message. And I'm not even saying that, that Luca, Scantabarlo, or Burlo, and, also, Cristofo Barbato are making this thing up. But there are reasons these stories come out, and I find it interesting that it coincides with not only the Norwegian politician, but a former P2 Masonic 33-degree Mason from the P2 in Italy, Leo Zagami, has recently been suppressed by these people as well for having left the Illuminati. See, they're getting desperate, and they're putting all this stuff out there to just keep the fear-mongering going. And this is by no means reality. However, there is a reality that I think they're covering up. I think the purpose of this is actually a cover-up. The leak of this is actually a fiction to hide what's really going on. You know, when you perceive, for whatever reason, that there may be an attack from outside, you tend to want to hide within, right?
Well, yeah, I guess that's a normal human reaction.
So the tendency is to want us to look to our leaders for the solution to get out of this. And they are aware that there is talk about reptilians and greys. They don't like us talking about it, but us not talking about it is not going to make the problem go away. So you know, what's the big deal? Face it and deal with it.
Well, that's the way I would look at it. First of all, you know, I have yet to see any government, not just our government, but any government, do anything with efficiency, intelligence, and organization, unless it involves corruption and war. Aside from that, you know, they just can't handle any job. So why would a distraught public seek the assistance of a bumbling government when it comes to an interplanetary problem? I don't know how everybody else looks at it, but I'll be darned if I'd go down into some tunnel with a bunch of these morons. I would prefer to take my chances on the surface.
Me too.
Whatever is going to happen is going to happen anyway.
Yeah, me too. That's been my attitude. You know, it's it shows what kind of character they are, or what they have that they have to build tunnels to go hide. You know, they have to build these underground tunnels, and it reminds me of a snake. You know, certain snakes really like hiding in the hole in the ground.
You know, if there's anything to this reptilian stuff, I mean, I don't know what these creatures are supposed to be like, but you know, a lot of reptiles prefer a dark, moist, cavernous environment. So, you know,
yeah.
Maybe it's really for them and not for the purposes advertised.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's been my argument. It seems to have taken a much bigger priority financially than we have. That's obvious. I mean, the amount of money spent at building these facilities and what has been described in these facilities also, I mean, cages and people being going through biological experimentation of the nastiest sorts, and, you know, genetic experiments, and, oh, man. There are just so many contradictions, so many. I don't know. I wish the Vatican would deal with that issue too.
Well, I mean, I hate to say it, but you know, the Vatican has been rather two-faced about an awful lot of things down through history. I don't see them suddenly changing their colors just because we now supposedly have an interplanetary concern on our hands. I mean, I was very surprised when I was a youngster to find out, for instance, that the Vatican had huge investments in Krupp armament and huge investments in contraceptive factories. I mean, these are the same people that preach out of the other side of their mouth.
Uh-huh.
When it comes to both of those subjects. And, you know, there's an awful lot of truth in the expression the Vatican Empire. I mean, from the standpoint of real estate alone, they command an enormous amount of territory worldwide. And even some of the poorest peons in Mexico and Peru and places like that where they barely have enough sustenance to keep their families together, they manage to scrape a few centavos or a few solas to put in the collection basket every week. And you multiply that times all the tens of millions of participants in this Catholic enterprise, and you've got an amazing amount of money flowing. Now, my biggest concern has always been that if the church is really the hallmark of Christ on earth and really interested in peace and benevolence, why don't they take some of that wealth and do something worthwhile with it? You know,
yeah.
Where does it all go?
Yeah, that's been my argument, too. Well, it goes into the gold chalices and the gold tabernacles and the gold crosses and offshore accounts and, you know, so on. It goes into their pockets. And you can watch movies like The Godfather. Actually, those movies are actually very accurate as to what goes on. There's not so much fiction in that. We get to where we say, well, anything you see in the movie, that's just fiction. They can show us the truth time and time again, and we take it as just fiction. And then when we see or hear about things like that in real life, we have the same reaction. Oh, this is just like the movies. This is just fiction. Everything is fiction. And really, that's the truth. But we don't recognize it. It's so much a fiction, it's an illusion. We can't seem to recognize that, though. And I think, you know, whether it's in outer space or whether it's a religious issue, there always seems to have to be somebody else controlling us. You know, my eyes work fine. My mind works fine. I don't need someone else to control either one of them.
Well, that's my sentiment exactly. Let me make my own decisions, you know.
Yes.
I'm a big boy, and if I'm wrong, I'll live with it. I don't need somebody to monitor me and tell me what to do and what not to do. And especially when it comes to issues of morality. I mean, I will listen to my own internal truth and my own internal judgment when it comes to such things, and I'm not going to have an organization that has a very checkered history, to say the least, you know, tell me which way I need to lean when it comes to issues of good and evil. I'll make up my own mind, and I think that that's what most people should do, but of course, We all know how difficult it is to get out of a program loop once you're in it.
Yeah. Well, I've had an interesting week. I've spent five days this week talking to the listeners and really with John Klar, who has been representing Rick Stanley's case before the Supreme Court. And this is a case about First and Second Amendment rights. And it's pretty taxing. It's a big event to take on your shoulders. And so my hat's off to John Klar. What he's basically doing is asserting an argument based on sovereignty. And really, we already have a document called our Constitution that guarantees us these rights, but they've been infringed upon from every angle. And I always see the Vatican behind the scenes pulling the puppet strings. And I don't even consider them a good representation of what some of the people who practice Catholicism feel about their faith. I see no synchronicity between what they do behind the scenes and what they portray to their people. They're exact opposites. And the secret societies that influence them or control them, the Jesuits, Opus Dei, Freemasonry, this whole concept of secret societies, that's how you maintain power, through secrets. Well, when the secret is found out, then I suggest that you've lost your power. There is no more power then. Or is it just make up a new secret? And I think that's what's happening here. I think pretty much that Sitchin, overall, it's the gut feeling I get from this, as compelling as his work is, you're not going to get people like us who this is designed for. It's not designed for the masses. It's designed for those who read, who are developing a consciousness or maintaining a consciousness or transcending this consciousness to a higher one. So it's meant to control us, not the masses, us, those that study it. And so they mix truth with the falsehoods so that they can confuse us. And all you have to do is remind yourself who's doing it, and it's really easy to see what they're doing. It's not that difficult. I don't know. I think you agree with me. I think I'm preaching to the choir tonight, folks.
Well, I do agree with you, but as far as if this program is designed for free-thinking people to try and in some way influence them for, you know, darker purposes, I don't know about the rest of you, but it certainly fails with me. I just don't operate that way. I'll make up my own mind, and I'll rationally approach whatever occurs and face it with whatever courage is necessary when the time comes. Now, if there is another planet coming this way, I think that you want to look on the positive side of the thing. Say, hey, it's going to be a real eye-opener. You know, I mean, every once in a while, we need to have something shake up this nest of termites here and get people thinking about the fact that there's a lot more to the universe than this little speck that we live on. So, I'm unaffected by the whole thing, to be quite honest with you.
Okay, well, we just wasted an hour. No, I appreciate your input. I just thought it would be worth some conversation. I direct anybody that wants to find out more about this, and you and I may, after we've had a chance to look at this whole thing, we can talk about it more. I'm going to make a prediction here, Jim, that I'm going to feel the same way I do now. I may have more ammunition to support my case when I'm done. And you probably will feel the same way. But I want to give out the web address to anyone that's interested. Go to Project Camelot, and Camelot is spelled CAMELOT.org, and just click on the section where it says Lucas Cantamburlo, The Return of Planet X. And keep in mind what we described on this this interview tonight with Jim Murray. And do some research. Don't take what we're saying for the truth. Find out for yourself. Come to your own conclusions. Jim, it's been fun.
Well, thank you. And as usual, I enjoy being with you. And hopefully, if nothing else, we at least jingled some imagination.
Oh, yeah. And maybe by doing what we did tonight, maybe we'll get some more information. You know, we might find out what's going to happen in the next chapter.
I just wish somebody would phone in and give us a fresh perspective on all this stuff. I don't know where all our listeners are, but some of them must have telephones.
Oh, yeah. You know, we've had some people call in. Of course, I didn't invite them to, so maybe they're just sitting back listening, sort of following. But the next show, if you want, we can make it just a whole call-in show. I'll advertise it all week. I want you to call in Friday. Jim Murray doesn't want to talk to you unless you call in. How's that?
Well, that's a great idea, except that if nobody calls, it's going to be a very silent show.
That's right.
So we have to have a plan B, Don.
Well, we can call each other. How's that?
Yeah, that'll work.
All right. Jim, thanks for being on the show. We're going to look. I know you'll probably look into this a bit more. I will. I'll study it and find out what the whole secret is here. Of course, it won't be a secret anymore, so that's kind of an oxymoron. But I'll see you next Friday, and folks, I'll see you next Monday. You have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. Special thanks to Don Newsom for getting us hooked up. Wanted to give a quick shout out to Karen, Bob, and Bill, David Crenshaw, Sheila, Sylvia, and Jill, and Zachariah, and the General, and everybody else listening to us across the country. Thank you very much, and around the world. And we'll see you all next week. In the meantime, peace, love, and light, and have a good night.
If you want